You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning, good morning, Truth Nation. Welcome to hour number two of Truth Be Told with Telly. We have Bailey Coleman and Damian LZ as my guest co-hosts today. And if you're just joining us, Grand Rising, as we get a lot of times on our YouTube message board. I had to throw that in there. That's one of those things. I'd be like, gosh.
I hate Grand Rising.
Yeah, you know.
I hate Grand Risers.
Yeah, y'all funny.
You'd be like, Grand Rising. Shut up. Go back to being.
Okay.
No, we've been talking about the turmoil that the Milwaukee Housing Authority is currently experiencing, and the retirement of Executive Director Willie Hines and all the things that go into it. And Damian brought up a great point and something that came out a couple of months ago. But the Milwaukee Housing Authority is in a unique position because, like you said before the break, someone else has had to come in and try to fix this, where you are in a city where you are getting the funds, you're getting the resources, but they're not getting to the residents that need it most.
And that
is a big problem. We have Amari on our True Talking text line. Amari, good morning. What's your question or comment?
Good morning. Yeah, I just had a comment. So I'm here in Milwaukee, but I'm from Virginia. And in Virginia, I think the way it is, because some people really just don't pay their bills. They would rather you have it because they know your bill's going to get paid. Even people that are selling houses will take it because they know it's for sure money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the one thing you said. You have to vote. People be so caught up on the president. You have to vote for your city council. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your governors, your mayors. That is really important. Of course, the president is, but that's what's really important for the people that's actually running the city, the supervisors, and anybody that's on your council. You need to look at those people because they got a lot to do with what's going on, too. And you have to go to the meetings, and you got to talk, and you got to say how you feel. You have to go to the city meetings. And
great point.
That's basically what I feel like y'all should do. In Virginia, I feel like it's much easier because they know it's for sure money. So the people want the money. They know the bill's going to get paid.
Yeah.
She's talking about the landlord.
You have to vote. I feel like you have to vote at least for your city council. And you need to know who is on your city council. Every city council got an office where they can just walk into a room and sign a check with their name on it. Everyone in all 50 states. Like, I'm here in Milwaukee. Y'all got over $5 million for road work. And the roads are horrible. Okay. Y'all got over $5 million.
Unsmooth.
And where's the $5 million going to? Like, you have to, when stuff like that is happening, you have to go talk to your city. You have to go talk to the city supervisor. You gotta talk to your mayors and your governors. Those are the people who are getting the money.
Mm-hmm.
So when HUD get involved, HUD thing is, why is the money not being spent? Mm-hmm. Why y'all not going to sign buildings, fix them up and turn them into some type of shelter? Because that's what that money is for. Anybody can go and say, if you are part of this city, hey, I want to go open up a shelter for the people. I need $50,000. You can go ask the city for that. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
As long as you got everything right and you're really like, that's what you're trying to do, because they'll give money to people who just spending it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They ain't doing nothing. They going to back school, get hotels, and they're paying their rent. That's what they do with that city money. I'm telling you, I know what's going on. So y'all got to start talking to y'all city people more and letting them know, hey, put your foot down. Like, what's going on with these checkbooks and these offices? What's going on?
I totally agree. Thank you so much, Amari. We appreciate you calling in. And just being more aware of what's going on in your city, in your community, who knew? I know I didn't, but who knew that Hackham hasn't had a full board since 2019? That's kind of important.
Listen,
we're finding out that's very important.
That's very important. You know, and I kind of vaguely remember back in 2019 when they lost some board members. kind of remember that because there was a whole situation mm-hmm. about it. It was yeah. all like, you know.
But clearly you don't remember them replacing them,
no,
do you?
No, no. And, you know, like many things,
before we
the
go
story
too far,
just faded away. Right?
Let me respond yeah. to what she said. You can't just go to the city and get $50,000. You can go to get CDBG money. That's what she's referring to, and that also comes from HUD and all of them as well. You mm-hmm. can go get CDBG money, but then you got to go.
What is CDBG money?
Community Development Block Grant money.
Okay.
So you can apply for that money to do something that is beneficial for the community or whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's so many hoops and stuff you got to go through. So I don't want nobody thinking, oh, let me go down to the city and get $50,000. That's yeah. not what's gonna happen. That's not how it works.
Let me go get 50.
Yeah, let me go get 50 real quick. That's not how it works. But you're also right with, but she's also right with, you know, people gotta talk to their older people.
Yeah.
People gotta talk to these people that the county supervisors. We always say that, and it seems like a reoccurring theme on this show, on Sherman's show, on Tori's show, mm-hmm. on all of the shows, Ken's show.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta talk to the people that are closest to you, that have the most power that affects what happens to you daily.
Exactly.
Because this board not being filled is not just an issue that they just didn't pick somebody. There's been some wrangling back and forth
yeah.
between the Common Council, the mayor's office for the last two terms, different mayors, about filling these positions and not wanting to fill these positions. And even with this money that was given to this company out of state in Florida, like Kyle just told us in the text, that Common Ground wanted, and the people that they represented wanted the county to have it. Mm-hmm. Give that program to the county because their stuff is running fine. So yeah. what's the difference between right. their stuff and what's happening with the city Section 8, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's always something, but if you stay in communication with those that are close to you, you can find out this information and you can put the pressure on them to make them do
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be there to hold them accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like if HUD gets involved, they ain't coming to enhance it. They coming to cut.
Yeah,
because they saying, look, yeah. we already gave y'all what
right.
y'all needed.
Right, right.
And y'all still not doing what you need to do.
Exactly.
And so, all right, you can't handle what we're giving you. Well, we're going to cut it and give it to people that yeah. will get it to
exactly.
the residents that need it most. Hit us up, 833-212-1017. This is, to me, very troubling because it's not that the government or HUD isn't giving mm-hmm. Hackam money.
Right.
They're providing them what they need, but it's not getting to the residents.
So now my understanding is that they have taken the money and given it to somebody out of state to do?
Yeah, to administer the Section 8, yeah.
Okay.
So that was the last.
That's
what happened a couple months ago.
Okay.
And so people that understand what HUD is about, HUD is a federal agency. They are your mama. And this, let's make an analogy here.
Okay.
It's you and your brother, y'all okay. in the room,
mm-hmm.
y'all being loud.
Okay.
Your mama say, y'all better shut that noise up before I come in there.
Okay. She
says that once or twice. You start hearing her walk, y'all be quiet. She walks away. She comes, you start acting up again. She walks closer to the door, y'all be quiet. She walks away. Once mama come through that door, she ain't playing no more.
That's yeah, it.
There's
that's
no
it.
More chances after that.
Exactly.
So once HUD comes through and HUD says, this is
that's
what's
a great
wrong,
analogy.
Uh-huh.
It's rap after that. You can't, they're not taking, oh, let us
yeah.
let us change some
yeah,
things.
Give us some time.
Give us some. Apparently HUD has been giving them since 2014 to get stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So they've been, and that's the same thing HUD did with the health department when they were dealing with the lead stuff and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That money comes from HUD as well. So HUD says, we're warning you. This is my experience with HUD. We're warning you. Here it is. I'm at your door.
Yeah.
And once they're at your door, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah. why? So I guess another question is, why is it so hard to get these positions filled?
Mm.
You know?
It doesn't really matter what your background is. We clearly have filed that out with Ben Carson, the brain surgeon, who was, you know, appointed the director of HUD. But no, on a serious note, why is it that since 2019, they haven't had a full functioning board? Like, that, to me, would be a major priority
yeah.
to make sure
right.
that this agency works in the way that it's supposed to.
Like I said, there have been some wrangling back and forth between the council and the mayor's office, the last two mayors, about those, because those positions are positions of power. So you want to have somebody in there that's going to either work for you and help and not raise the alarm. If you're in Hackham, you want somebody in those positions that's not going to be like on your tail about certain stuff. But if you're on the opposite end and you're for the people, and this is one thing I can say about Common Ground, I give them a lot of flack, right? I'm messing up my words here. But they do organize the people. I can't front on that. You cannot front on that. And in doing that, Hackham wants it to be a certain way. Common Ground wants people from the community on this board now, right? Mm-hmm. Like they want people that they can say, hey, these are people that, like the caller was saying, been in these situations, lived in these situations. Those should be the people on the board.
Yeah.
But if you put those people on the board,
then are they going to play ball with the people that actually have the money and make the decisions?
So maybe that's why these things haven't been filled, because one side isn't letting the other side do it. The other side ain't letting the others. So it's a stalemate. So these positions stay open.
Could be.
Black Conscious, you are on Truth Be Told with Telly, Bailey, and Damian. Good morning. What's your question or comment?
Grand rising to you all. Peace and blessings. I was hitting on what my brother just said about it. They also budget those positions, so that money stays on the book. And it's all about design and scheme. You don't fill those positions, that's an excuse. Well, we don't have these positions filled, and to that excuse, it's no more. So you said HUD is walking through the door. So you delay, you stall, but that money is still budgeted. You still have those positions budgeted in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes uncalled for, it's a surplus of money. So now you have it to blame that you don't have nobody at those positions, so we need more time to find those individuals while we swindle and corrupt this money. Mm. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate because just like when things happen, budget cuts.
The people suffer.
Yes, right. The people mm-hmm. suffer at the end of the day.
For lack of decisions and proper planning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But they don't. They don't suffer because, you know, they get those kickbacks. So peace and blessings to you all. Live righteous, Milwaukee.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Black Conscious. We appreciate it. Again, hit us up 833-212-1017. You can stream and watch us live on YouTube and at 1017thetruth.com. And we are going to shift gears after the break. Time Magazine has named their Athlete of the Year. And we'll tell you who that is and something they had to say in this moment. They had the platform to themselves. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, this is a critical need. There is a critical need for more African-American blood donors in Milwaukee, and we want to encourage you to help save lives by donating blood. This is why we ask you to join us on Friday. Man, that's coming up. And next Friday, December 20th, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., as we have partnered with Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin for a blood drive with your favorite 1017 The Truth shows, broadcasting live on site during the day. Come watch Truth Be Told with Telly, The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, and Jammin' with Juice with Ben and Carrie, live from the Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin, located at 2152 North Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. Join us on Friday, again, December 20th, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for our Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin blood drive with live broadcasts of 1017 The Truth shows from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Before the break, I didn't announce it. Time Magazine announced their Athlete of the Year. And to no one's surprise, it was Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for all the people that felt like she was getting way too much attention.
Which there were a lot of people.
Yes. People felt like she, Angel Reese, should have gotten just as much attention as Caitlin Clark. But because Caitlin is a white basketball player, she got more attention than black basketball players. And
which may
and
be
she
true.
Did. And, she did.
And yes. And you know, people deemed her as the basically the great white hope.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
And
this is
no,
America.
But it's
this is America.
It's real. Bird. But yeah. The one thing, regardless of how you feel about Caitlin Clark, she was named Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. And while speaking with the publication, she took a moment to acknowledge not only her privilege,
mm-hmm.
but she also spoke about black women building up the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. That's the one thing that I truly, truly admire about what Caitlin Clark said, because here's the thing. The WNBA just didn't start this year.
Exactly.
Nope. It's probably at its peak in terms of popularity.
Right.
And what Caitlin Clark brought to the game. But there are so many unbelievable black women that built the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
And when speaking to Time Magazine's publication, Clark said she is cognizant of the racial underpinnings of her stardom. She says, quote, "I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. The more we can appreciate that, highlight that, talk about that, and then continue to have brands and companies invest in those players that have made this league incredible, I think is very important. I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing." Bailey, how does that make you feel to hear that come from a white privileged woman who acknowledges that?
That's a start. It's good. You know, that's appreciated. I think what's benefited her at this point is that day to day with those very women that she's talking about,
mm-hmm.
and really taking the time and seeing how they've been working.
Mm-hmm.
And she just walked in the door, mm-hmm. you know, and then all of a sudden there's a bright light, not only on her, but on all of them now. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, you bring up a good point, Bailey, because how can black women that have played in the WNBA kind of let that go? It wasn't her fault. She didn't tell the media and everybody to, you know, give her all of these endorsements and you know, bring that type of attention to the WNBA.
It wasn't her fault.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say would be, to, okay, now it's your turn. Now see how you can benefit off of that for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That opportunity is for you to create now, because there's way more attention
mm-hmm.
on the league now. There's more people, you know, gravitating. So, you know, she can't do everything.
Yeah. I just,
you know.
Dave, I know.
It's up to that individuals to figure out how they can benefit off of it and how they can make their way.
Absolutely.
From this point. I mean, because hate it or love it, she really gave them a jumping off point.
Yeah.
Let's give her that credit.
She brought the people to the party.
She brought the people mm-hmm. to the party, and now she's not only bringing them to the party, but she's now saying on her platform, hey, I didn't start this.
Yeah.
They
what
were
about
already,
these
look,
women?
Yeah.
Yes.
What about mm-hmm. these women?
Yeah.
Now, if she start crying or something, then we got something going on. But I'm just saying.
No,
not the white woman too.
Dave, what do you think about that?
I think we have to recognize that Caitlin Clark is probably, she's an exceptional. First and foremost, she's an exceptional basketball player.
Right.
I've watched. I got a league pass for the WNBA, not to watch her. I'm more of an Angel Reese fan myself, but I understand that Caitlin Clark is a great player, and in watching her play, she improved so much during the course of the season that all of the awards she's gotten, is you can't hate on that.
Right.
If you know basketball and you know the sport at all and you have ever been an athlete, you understand how difficult it is to get that good, how difficult it is to maintain that ability, and how difficult it is to go from college to the pros and still put up those same type of numbers.
Yeah.
So she's good. She's got it. And what I also understand is, and I think what she's acknowledging in this statement without saying it, is that her being the face of the league doesn't happen unless she has that rivalry with Angel Reese.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't, her just being good is just her being good. Juju Watkins is good.
Yeah. Sabrina Ionescu is good.
They good.
Rebecca Lobo is good.
They excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't have that rivalry that she had with Angel Reese. Larry Bird is great, but he didn't have, without Magic, and Magic without Larry is just a good player that's supposed to, but them together brings that to the league. And that's the same thing with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And by her giving this statement and not just saying, it's all me, I'm doing this, she's acknowledging the fact that black women have built the WNBA from the times of Dawn Staley, Lisa Leslie, them, Cheryl Swoops, them, all of them back then to now. They have built this league, and I'm just trying to help take it to another place, but I'm not even now doing it by myself. Also, if you look at this statement, either the league gave her a great writer and put these thoughts in her head and told her this is what you need to say, because the league messed up at first when they brought Caitlin Clark in and Angel Reese. Like, Caitlin Clark had a big old introduction.
Right.
Reese just walked into the gym. And so that started it with everyone, all of the black women in the league. They was like, y'all giving her everything too soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's earned it now, right?
Yeah.
They
understand
that they played against
her. That's why they were giving her the business at the beginning of the year.
They were.
But towards the end of the season, they gave her respect. And that's how the WNBA
but that's
is
how,
always.
That's any league. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Exactly. And I'm saying, and also with this statement, the way that is so well worded and the way that she's giving credit to black women who created this league, either the players in the league have pulled her to the side and told her this, because she's from Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't raised
Des Moines.
Right.
She wasn't raised. I've been to Des Moines.
I lived in Des Moines.
We all been to
Iowa. This type of mentality that she's speaking about right now is not Des Moines.
Yeah.
So over the course of this year, she's been pulled to the side, and people have told her, this is why we at you. It don't have nothing to do with you. This is why we at you. This is what's going on. This is what, and she's acknowledging that. And
it's those daily conversations and just being with those women that'll get you there, that'll help you understand, you know, because it just that cohesiveness and working as a team can get you there and help you understand.
So even this statement is an acknowledgement to black, even she's clearly acknowledging black women, but the fact that she's making it is also an acknowledgement to those black women in the league that she has, that have taken her under their wings and have talked to her and spoken with her and explained to her, this is what we've been going through.
Yes.
And now you here, that's why we at you.
Yep.
And she's acknowledging that pain and bringing it back and saying, I hear y'all.
Yep.
I accept what y'all saying. She's not being... Get what y'all saying. Nah. It's all Caitlin Clark all day and day.
Okay, now.
Right,
Now she said, let's get this money, y'all.
Now she's saying, let's get this money.
And like you said, there had to be some sort of shift. I mean, because even at the University of Iowa, there were no other black players on her team. There was a mixed
There was a
lady.
Couple of mixed ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you
know.
And then, so when you get to the league and you getting all of these things handed to you, and in Caitlin's situation, her position, it's like, I didn't ask for you to give me my own shoe. And I'm not gonna turn it down.
Exactly.
But for her, and I think the biggest thing for me is she didn't have to do this.
No, she didn't have to.
She did not. I'm sure.
She didn't have to.
She could have talked about anything. She could have talked about, hey, her rise from college to the pros.
Yeah.
And being this little girl that used to beat the boys when she was little. Like, they could have gone in a number of different ways.
Yeah.
But she decided to use this platform to address the racial undertones of her stardom. Eastside Corey hit us up on our YouTube message board and says, Clark is to ladies professional basketball a standout the same way Tina Marie contributed to R&B and soul.
I don't think like that.
Not really a city girl, says. I have much respect for the statement from Caitlin Clark came out with. 100, she paid homage. And I think she did an exceptional job.
Yeah, she did.
Yes, yes. Again, Caitlin Clark, Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. On the other side of the break, I will reread the statement that she gave about the racial underpinnings of her stardom. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, good morning, good morning. If you're just joining us, welcome to Truth Be Told with Telly. We have Bailey Coleman and Damian LZ in today, and we have been talking about Caitlin Clark, who was named Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year. And in a statement that she, well, an interview that she did with Time Magazine, she chose to bring attention to the racial undertones of her stardom. And Caitlin Clark came out with a statement and said, quote, I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. The more we can appreciate that, highlight that, talk about that, and then continue to have brands and companies invest in those players that have made this league incredible, I think it's very important. I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing. For some reason, Bailey, just reading that again, it just hits different when it's coming from a white person.
It does hit different. But now, I hate to bring this up. But she's great. I'm glad it shows her maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that there are some people that actually do care.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that she was probably not a part of the, 58% of white women that voted for? Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
She was with Taylor Swift, if you remember.
All right. Yeah. There you go. There you go. So there you go. But I mean, you know what? All in all, it is a good thing. And I'm glad that she had the time to hang out with the sisters.
That's what it shows.
And just be human about it and be real about it.
Yeah.
You know, they say black women are the most unappreciated people in this country.
Yeah.
She's been showing, and just in the statement, she shows that she's been, you know, when they have those bus trips or those road trips or wherever they're going, that she's been spending time with players on her team and they've been having, you know, real conversations.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, these are words. So when it's time for those companies and those brands, when she's in those rooms, she needs to back that up with action
exactly.
And show that
I'm
pulling my sisters in and that when they start saying, well, we need to have people like we were talking, Bailey, on the commercial break.
Yeah.
We're having people in these. We're going to start doing these commercials.
Yeah.
These Nike commercials for you. Who do you want in it? I want Angel Reese, even though she's not on Nike. I'm just saying names like
exactly.
that. I want these players in these commercials with me. I want them to benefit from my stardom, and so that it just isn't words at that point.
So it could become a potential catalyst for them to have their own stardom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could just only envision next summer, Caitlin gets invited to the barbecue, and she just walk in and be like, look, Didn't I look out for y'all?
Exactly. Right.
I looked out, didn't
and
I?
And I didn't bring the potato salad, so let's go. Yeah. Let's
and
go.
So she has to do that. She has to follow this up.
Yeah.
It's a great statement. It's a great start. She has to follow this up. With
I don't think putting, she, what putting, does she have to follow it up with?
I'm saying she has to, it doesn't, it's nothing that maybe we even see.
Yeah.
I'm saying you can have these words, you can say these, but she has to understand the power that she has. Like LeBron understands the power that he has in the NBA as the top dog. That's why the NBA had, they had never seen that before. Mike was the top dog, but he wasn't, Mike wasn't a man of the people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that LeBron is, but Mike wasn't bringing too many people to the party with him at that point.
Yeah.
LeBron has brought his whole Cleveland crew
with
him.
See, that's all I'm saying.
He's teaching other players the game and how to maneuver and how to do things, right? She needs to do that as well. Not teaching them how to do stuff, but look at Asia, what's the one from Las Vegas?
Asia Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Asia Wilson, three-time MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's three times in a row she's been the best player in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
They not even making 100,000+.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what they need to do is she needs to use her platform to make sure that those players are getting sponsorships and getting, and we don't know, she may be doing that because just by her being in the league, people are saying, well, Caitlin Clark got this Nike shoe, she got all of these ads and all of these other things, but Asia Wilson is the best player in the league. And by doing that, now Asia Wilson is in these commercials.
Yep.
She's in all of these different ads. And so people are like, well, if we're going to give it to Caitlin, we got to give Asia some, or it don't even look right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Asia this year, it's so funny you say that. Her first two MVPs, Caitlin Clark wasn't in the league.
Uh-huh.
Nobody didn't even know about it. This year, Asia Wilson has been in several commercials. She's in a car commercial. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what company it is. But and on top of that, I think it's going to happen eventually. But Asia Wilson is the only female basketball player that I know of has a statue.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. She has a statue at the University of South Carolina outside of the basketball arena, the same campus where her grandmother wasn't admitted to because she was black.
Wow.
That's deep. That's deep.
Ain't that something?
And then look here. Look here. Vegas, they got, and this is fun, in the beginning of the season, after they won the championship, they aren't making, the money is so low for them that the Vegas mayor went out and got sponsorships for, you know, each one of them, each one of the players.
Wow.
Got the corporate entities to give them another $100,000.
Wow.
They had to give it back. The league told them they had to get that money back. But now you fast forward, Asia and her teammates, because she's in one of those car commercials with a couple of her teammates and stuff like that. They are now getting those ads and getting it. So it's just in one season.
There you go.
How quickly things have changed.
Yeah.
And we, like I said, we're giving Caitlin Clark all of this credit, but she wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for Angel Reese doing the "You Can't See Me" in her face.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Angel Reese setting the platform for her to be able to be the hero Angel Reese to be the villain. You know? So we, not that Angel went out doing this consciously and purposely, but it's just how it happened.
Exactly.
So a black woman, she understands that, and at least she's cognizant of the fact that a black woman has placed her in a position to even be the best player, to be the one that everybody is seeing, to have the games that because everybody ain't watching Caitlin Clark all of the time,
right?
But when she's playing against Angel Reese in them Final Four, they watching.
Yeah.
When she's playing against South Carolina,
it was the most watched.
They watching. Yeah. You know, she understands that they not just coming to watch me, they coming to watch me play against the best. And I'm the anomaly in this.
Right.
They've been killing for decades, for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, great points. Great points. Truth Nation, hit us up 833-212-1017. Let us know what you think about Caitlin Clark's remarks in terms of really giving black women that have built the WNBA their flowers now and give them the money, or is almost like repercussions reparations, because again, this is all the money that they could have been making and should have been making up until this point.
Yeah.
Sheryl Swoopes is the only WNBA player that has ever had her own signature shoe. Mm-hmm. And now Caitlin Clark comes, she gets a shoe.
Right.
And so
the one
you mean
in New York
to tell me,
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah. And she was like, Caitlin Clark way before Caitlin Clark. Like, right. Sabrina Nescu was unbelievable when she was in college. So the caller hit us up, Bailey, on our talking text line and says, awesome take, Bailey. Caitlin has rejected the support of the MAGA movement numerous times since she came on the scene.
They tried to bring her in and she wasn't going for it.
She wasn't going for it.
She could have easily just went and could
got. She could have.
That's a pocket full of money right there.
Yeah.
She could have just easily accepted that and or just said nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. Kept quiet and let them think what they want to think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And another thing that I thought about, and I definitely want to get you all's opinion on this and or take on this. And when I heard Caitlin Clark say, I understand and acknowledge I have white privilege. It's almost, you admitted something that we know as black people that has existed forever.
Right.
But how does that make you feel when you hear a white person say, I know I have privilege? And because she acknowledged it, but what about all the ones that don't acknowledge it, but act like they earned everything just because of the hard work and who they are and not because of their skin color?
That's where we are right now as far as politics.
Look
at the political scene and the way that it's going. And that's why I'm saying it was for her to say that is so defiant on her behalf. Because look at the whole scene is based upon them saying, rewriting history and saying white privilege doesn't exist. I worked hard for this. And my grandfather came here and he struggled and he did this. And forget about the slaves. Forget about the Indians. Forget about everybody else.
It
was all me.
Even if you're dealing with just what we would call daily privilege, that some people that are of the Caucasian persuasion deal with, just a daily thing.
Yeah.
That could be tough. And, you know, so, you know, it happens on a daily, almost hourly basis.
And
saying it out loud really does.
I just thought it meant more. That's what I'm saying. You know, like it penetrated more.
It can be jogging.
Yeah.
You know, as far as how you feel about it and how it makes you feel when someone actually says it. And if we were able to hear the audio, it would probably catch us even more, maybe in the throat.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because you're talking to people that don't have privilege.
And you're
there's never been a time where you said, man, thank God I was black, because if I wasn't black, I wouldn't have got that job. I wouldn't have got this. Or I wouldn't have got that.
There are designated black jobs.
That, in her saying that, she's
only
not,
one.
Okay. In her saying that, she's not talking to us, right? We know. We know what's going on.
No.
We know. She's talking to her fellow white people.
Yeah,
and telling them.
And the CEOs. Yeah. Exactly.
And telling them, as a white woman of privilege, I understand. And that's the type of ally you want any struggle. When people say they white allies and this, that, and other. Well, don't come tell me. Tell him.
Exactly.
Tell your brother. Tell your sister. Tell all of them.
Here's what's really nuts is when you're dealing with people that don't recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Even on, like, a daily situation, there are people that do not recognize that. And when they go into these corporate offices and things like that, and they cry and they use those tears, you know, a lot of black women, you know, the whole tear thing.
The white woman tears.
Yeah. And that is so, people don't realize the favoritism and the privilege that can be extended and expounded from that. And it could change your whole life. Mm-hmm. And you did nothing.
Yeah.
It could change your whole entire life.
Well, in this situation, she didn't do that. She came, she took her lumps, took some elbows, took some black eyes, took some getting pushed to the ground.
Yeah.
And she came back, and she's in the second half of the season, she was the one pushing people down.
Yep.
And they respected that about her.
Yeah.
Was talking about it in the game. And then she's even taking that further with this statement and putting the pressure on other white folks to say the same thing. Other white folks that are in those positions of privilege that have been reached those positions, reached those heights, to say, look, like it's like for Taylor Swift to be like, this would be the equivalent of Taylor Swift saying, I'm here because of Beyonce. Without Beyonce, without Diana Ross, without all of these other pop stars that have paved the road for me to get to this position,
I'm here because of that. That's Elvis saying, I'm here because of Lil Richard.
Yeah.
I'm here because of... So that's the significance of what she's doing. And it enforces... It enables also other white folks to have, like Trump did, he gave them that protection, those racist people, that protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
This gives those people who want to speak and want to speak on the side of blackness and want to speak against white supremacy, this gives them that umbrella too, because now she's protecting them. If Caitlin Clark can say it and can do it and she's at the top of the world,
right,
and not lose everything by speaking out and speaking righteously, then who am I?
Right.
I can do that as well.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
The caller hit us up on our True Talking text line and says, Telly, when a white person admits the truth about how they benefit from racial bias, I consider them to be more honest than 90% of people, black or white. How often do they admit it to you, the caller? That's the question.
Yeah. But,
yep.
Again, admitting it and following up and creating action is the next step.
Absolutely. And the next step for us is we're going to take our final break. And when we return, we're going to have our truth of the matter. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, Gruber Law Offices, and The Truth have raised the stakes for this year. The One Call, That's All Gruber Cash Giveaway is now a 5K giveaway. Yes, you heard it right. $5,000 giveaway. Every weekday on 1017 The Truth, you will have the chance to be entered to win the 5K giveaway. Listen to The Truth for The One Call, That's All cue to call for your chance to win $5,000. Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All. Visit 1017thetruth.com. For official contest rules.
Sometimes it takes a breakdown to have a breakthrough. And at Vinbeck and Recovery, they can understand the power of having real support while you're on that journey to recovery. This is why at Vinbeck and Recovery, they customize treatment plans specific for your needs. Vinbeck and Recovery provides our community and anyone
Wisconsin. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, we've come to that time of the show where we will give our truth of the matter, which are our takeaways from some of the topics that we have discussed throughout the show. We have talked about a lot of different things, and thank you as always, Truth Nation. Before we get to our truth of the matters, we always appreciate you reaching out on our YouTube message board as well as our talking text line. You can always stream and watch us live on YouTube and catch any show that you missed on 1017thetruth.com, or just simply download the Truth app and you can catch us all the time if you just click on your notifications. With that being said, time for our truth of the matter. Bailey, take it away.
So when you get those high profile gigs, just always remember, take an assessment of where you were when you started, where things were when you walked in the door, and then make a plan on how you're going to improve it. And then when you get ready to leave, or whenever anybody comes to you after that point, you could tell them, here's where we were when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the plan we put together, and here's where we are now. You got to be able to explain. If you can do that, you're 90% ahead of the game.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bailey. A lot of times the problem is in the explanation, because if you just do what you got to do,
exactly,
you ain't got to explain
it. You ain't got to explain. In case you got to explain.
Yep.
That's the way you do
say,
it.
It's funny how when someone wins, they never give an excuse on why they won.
Right.
Right.
But if you lose, there's plenty of excuses on why you lost.
Excuses are tools of the incompetent.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Build bridges to nothing.
Tell me you're the D9 without telling you you're the D9.
Okay.
Right?
That's what we just did right there.
Okay.
You didn't ask me, but I'm going to give it to you.
But no, it is your time.
Okay,
let me. Truth of the matter.
My truth of the matter is this.
words are just words, and without the action behind the words, they will always remain words. That's true. What we learned today from my man with the kayak. He was talking about he wanted to change his life.
Tripping.
And he ended up thinking, I'm tripping.
Yeah.
And his actions couldn't back his words. Over there at Hackham, they want to be for the people. They want to get everything done for the people, but the action just ain't there. It's just not adding up. Then you come to Kaylin Clark, and she's speaking good. She's talking good. She's giving us that good word. But make sure them actions follow up that word.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dame. My truth of the matter, following up just on the Kaitlyn Clark thing, that's a lot of pressure for a 22-year-old, but I do still commend her and give her so much credit for doing something she didn't have to do. It's so different when someone tells you or you feel like you have to make a statement. You have to do this, you have to do that. But in a climate where she really didn't have to say anything.
Nothing.
And no one would have faulted her or said anything. But for her to take this opportunity when she is named Time Magazine Athlete of the Year, which a lot of times is a once-in-a-lifetime achievement, and you decide to uplift and celebrate Black women that paved the way for you to be the WNBA player you are today, I give her so much credit. And it, to me, it's always different and it hits different when you hear someone of privilege acknowledge that they do have privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's another thing that we clearly don't have time to get into, but how does that make you feel knowing that they have privilege? We know that, but again, for them to acknowledge it, it brings on a total different tone for me. Yeah. So again, kudos to Kaitlyn Clark, the kayaker. Hey man.
Man, oh man.
Hey, the best of us get catfish, man.
Right.
I'm telling you, my mom had the ability to tell you, she'd hear a story, and then she'd be like, okay. This is what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, he got over to where again?
Uzbekistan.
And realized he saw her and say, man, I tripped.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
I'm going home. I'm going back to Watertown.
I miss my kids.
All right, True Nation, with that being said, we going to get on out of here, and we ain't faking it. Thank you to Bailey and David, as always.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Brother.
Great show. Up next is The Truth and 9 more hours of live consecutive Black Talk Radio. Up next is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Peace out.